Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who revere him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Amen, and thanks be to God. Please be seated. If you're not all that familiar with the words of the opening hymn, I'm pretty sure that most of you will be very familiar with the wonderful tune. So let's stand and sing From All That Dwell Below the Skies. Please be seated. Well, can I extend a very warm welcome to all of you, whether in person or on YouTube, that are joining us this morning for worship. Our senior minister, Phil Campbell, and his wife, Lou, are up in Queensland at the moment, where I believe it's even more sultry than it is here. Anyway, I've come off the interchange bench while he has a week of leave. If you are new to Scots or visiting and just want to keep in touch, please use the card that you'll find hopefully close to you, either the QR code or fill it in at the back. You'll be able to get our weekly newsletter, Scots Weekly, so you know what's going on. And we'd love to welcome you. Please join us for a cuppa and a chat after the service, which will be on the mezzanine level in the Westpac Centre directly behind me. You can also grab a barista coffee after the service at the back of the church. The first of our mission lunches for the year will be held in a couple of weeks' time, March the 19th. You will see an invitation for it in there in your order of service, and there is a lunch afterwards in the ground floor of the Westpac Centre at Jester's Garden, and that's provided free of charge. But you will need to RSVP for catering purposes, so please do so, and I hope as many of you as possible can come. Well, let's stand and sing again that Isaac Watts classic, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Please be seated. Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, as we've just sung in praise to you, when we survey the wondrous cross, when we consider what it means for the Prince of Glory to die on that criminal's cross of humiliation and shame, to die in our place, that we might live in fellowship with you. Then when we consider that, our richest gains, our greatest achievements are truly as nothing. And our pride in them is nothing short of contemptible. Father of mercy and grace, you know the secrets of our hearts, how blind we are to our own faults, yet how harsh we are in judging others, how swift we are to take for gain, yet slow to give for others, how proud we are of our success, yet grudging in our praise of others. Father, we have not loved you with our whole being, and nor have we loved our neighbour as ourselves. Lord, give us grace to make a fresh start today. As you forgive each of us, teach us also to forgive, and lead us forward in a new life where neither grudges nor resentments rule our hearts. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Set me as a seal upon thine heart. Set me as a seal upon thine heart.
If you have children with you and you wish them to participate in the Sunday school, this is the time for them. The primary students, if they can go with Bawanika, and could you just stand, Bawanika, so people can see? Yep, there she is up there. And the high school students can go with Denise, who's also standing and towards the back of the church. Okay. Now, we come to the offering, and if you're part of the Scots family and you're not already giving electronically, then this is your opportunity to join us in financial partnership. And if you're visiting us today, please feel no obligation to contribute. Be our guest. The offertory hymn, that exquisite old Irish hymn, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart."
Please be seated. Let us now join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. God of all kindness, we praise and give you thanks for this awesome and glorious Sunday you have created. Thank you for gathering us in this place and for the blessings of technology so people may view the church services on live streaming every Sunday. As we gather today for the Holy Communion, Heavenly Father, we give thanks for giving us your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world and our Lord and Savior. We rejoice greatly for Jesus, that he was prepared before the foundation of the world to be slain for our sins and the world's sins. Gracious God, thank you that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have been forgiven, renewed, restored, and reconciled to Jesus. Purify and fill our hearts, minds, and souls with your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your name. We thank the Lord for Reverend Phil Court's leadership at Scots and are grateful for the support of his wife, Deb Court, in our church. May the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be their forever strength. We pray for your church on earth, especially the persecuted churches in Afghanistan, in the Middle East, Asia, Africa, and churches in war zone areas, particularly in Ukraine and Moldova. We pray for the body of Christ in these countries and around the world who are suffering mistreatment, imprisonment, loss of possessions, and threats of death for their allegiance to Jesus. May they be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for being their shield, defense, refuge, and stronghold. We pray for God's strength, wisdom, guidance, providence, protection for the Scots Church, for the ministers, church leaders, for the staff, Scots choir members, music director and organist, for the volunteers, for the Scots mission, vision, ministry, Scots constituents, and Scots city. Loving God, that you would grant the right leadership team to be provided. We pray especially for future family or next generation's worker, but let your will be done. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come close and bring comfort, healing, and peace to all those experiencing ill health in our church community or their beloved families. We remember Nancy Banks, Ray Anstey, Brenda Johnson, the Castles family, and Kevin Hardy, that you would surround them with your love, console them with your comfort, and give them hope. We pray for our senior minister, Reverend Phil Campbell, and his wife Louise, who are currently on 1 week annual leave. May they continue to be blessed with a safe and enjoyable time with their beloved family in Queensland. And now, accept our free will offerings and tithes, and those who give electronically, that you would grant that with our gifts we may also offer a ready mind and a willing spirit to show forth in our lives the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
The first reading is from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 21 and 31 to 35. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Amen.
As long as
The second reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions." Amen.
Thank you, Deb. Let me pray. Father God, as we consider these passages from your holy word, Lord, open the ears of our hearts that your message to us might take root in us and flourish in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you haven't heard or read this morning's first reading from Mark's Gospel before, it might come as quite a shock. It might sound as if Jesus is disowning his own family. It might also be a shock for another reason. If you've been brought up with the picture in your head of what is sometimes called the Holy Family, being just three people, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, it may well be a shock to hear Mark talking about Jesus having brothers. Amongst other things, this almost certainly means that Mary, although a virgin when she conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit, was not a perpetual virgin as some have tried to claim. That much is also pretty clear from Matthew's Gospel, when he tells us, for example, that Joseph did not have sexual relations with Mary until she'd given birth to a son. That's Matthew's words in chapter 1. In other words, following the birth of Jesus, Joseph and Mary enjoyed a normal sexual relationship in their married life together. And not surprisingly then, further children came along, boys and girls. A couple of chapters further on from this morning's first reading, Mark tells us of Jesus returning to his hometown of Nazareth and preaching in the local synagogue. And the locals are amazed at Jesus' authority. And Mark tells us in chapter 6 of his gospel that they say to each other, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And you can read an almost identical passage in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 13. See, the James mentioned here as one of Jesus' brothers is the same James who later becomes the leader of the fledgling church in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul knew him to be Jesus' brother. In his letter to the Galatians, he speaks of a trip to Jerusalem where he saw James, the Lord's brother, Paul's words in Galatians' first chapter. And John, in his gospel, also speaks of Jesus' brothers, who in the early phase of Jesus' ministry were skeptics. In chapter 7 of John, he tells us not even his brothers believed in him.
So if you need to, please adjust your mental picture of Mary and her family. It's a family much like any other, a warts and all family. Jesus had at least six siblings, four brothers that are named, and at least two sisters, maybe more. He would have experienced the usual ups and downs and squabbles of family life. And his mother would have too. Let's also realise that Jesus' family were not his most ardent disciples. They were not among his followers, at least not for most of his 3 years of ministry. Not only did his brothers disbelieve him, but at one stage, Mary and her sons are convinced that he's insane. Listen to Mark. Then he, Jesus, that is, went home and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he's out of his mind. Now, those two verses are the background to our first Bible reading, which then tells us what happened when the family arrived to seize Jesus by force and take him back with them for his own physical safety and mental well-being. They meant well. Now, if Mary had fully understood exactly who her son was, well, she would not have thought him to be out of his mind. The Son of God, by definition, is not insane. Just as with the apostles, it's really only later, with the resurrection, that the penny finally drops for Mary and her sons. Only then do they realise the enormity of what Jesus is and what he did to reconcile us to God. And Jesus' unbelieving brother James goes on to become a pillar of the early church in Jerusalem. So with our view of Jesus' biological family grounded on what the Bible itself clearly tells us, now let's get the time frame right. We're in the first flush of Jesus' gospel ministry in Galilee. He's attracting big crowds of enthusiastic followers wherever he goes. And after selecting his 12 apostles, he returns home. At this stage, home for Jesus is boarding or possibly couch surfing at Peter's house in Capernaum. And Capernaum was the biggest fishing port on Lake Galilee. And the crowds just simply won't go away. They surround Peter's little house. Some have even managed to squeeze their way into the house. And that's what Mark tells us in verse 32. He says a crowd was sitting around him. Now, this is no mansion. After a while, Mary and some of her sons arrive, but the house is so crowded they can't even force their way in. So Mark tells us in verse 31, standing outside, they sent to him and called for him. And the message gets passed on into the house and through the crowd sitting around Jesus. And they say to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. Now, he must have startled everyone with his response. Who are my mother and my brothers? What? Is Jesus denying that this woman and her sons, anxiously waiting outside, are his family? Is he calling them imposters? Or is he accusing them of such neglect or heartlessness that he's disowned them? Whatever the reason might turn out to be, we can be sure that Jesus has got the crowd's full attention. And so he takes the opportunity of this moment to teach them, and in doing so, to teach us a divine truth of the most profound and far-reaching kind. He takes the idea of family and he gives it a higher meaning. He applies the idea of family to the spiritual bond between himself and his followers. Listen to Mark in verse 34. And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." And what is it that marks someone as one of Jesus' family? Just this, he goes on to say, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus' definition of family is not limited to that gathering in that stuffy, overcrowded little house of Peter's in Capernaum, sit with the crowd sitting at his feet. It just as equally applies to this gathering, preparing to take part in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that he himself instituted for his church in all ages. If you do the will of God, you are the brother, the sister, even the mother of the Son of God, of God himself. So take a moment to let that beautiful divine truth sink in. Is that how you see yourself? But what does it mean to do the will of God? How complicated is it to even know what the will of God is, let alone do it? So at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, the Jewish scribes and the theological professors had identified 613 commandments in the law of Moses. 613! How could anyone possibly know when they might be infringing one or the other of such a huge number of rules and regulations? And it's that dilemma that takes us to our second reading from Mark. Now here the scene shifts away from the crowded little house on the shore of Lake Galilee to the spacious and beautiful grounds of the magnificent Jerusalem Temple in the week leading up to Jesus' death on a criminal's cross. As the crowds watch on, protagonists from at least three rival factions are debating with Jesus, trying every trick in the book to trap him into saying something heretical or treasonous and so give them an excuse to have the temple police arrest him. That's the debate, the purpose behind the debate that's going on. First, in the earlier part of that chapter from Mark, the chief priests and the scribes send in a strange and a temporary alliance of the religiously hardline Pharisees, the pragmatic pro-Roman Herodians, and the chief priests and scribes. That's the weird thing that's happening here. So first, the chief priests and the scribes, they have a go. They quiz him about paying taxes. And then it's the aristocratic Sadducees' turn. They present Jesus with a hypothetical case of a woman who married seven brothers, one after the other, and each had died. They demand to know which one does Jesus think will be her legal husband when the dead are raised on the last day. So that's the scene. And Mark tells us of a scribe who, after watching the interrogation and being greatly impressed by Jesus' responses, bowls up his own question. Which commandment is the most important of all? It's a leading question that goes to the very heart of what it means to do the will of God. And Jesus' answer reaches back into the law of Moses and its 613 commandments, and he plucks out two, and he marries them to each other so that, metaphorically speaking, they become one flesh, two sides of the one coin, which, like human marriage, should not be torn apart. The crowd might have expected him to choose one of the 10 big ones, one of the 10 commandments, but Jesus aims higher and deeper. He goes straight to the very essence of God's purpose for humanity. Of all the animals on earth, Why did God have us made in his own image? Well, listen carefully to Jesus' response to the scribe's question. The most important commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Now, Jesus was quoting from chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, one of the five books of the law of Moses, and Leviticus, chapter 19, another of those five books. To paraphrase it, Jesus is telling us that God wants you to love the one who made you and loves you, and love the ones who, like you, he also made in his own image, and do all of it with all your all. Don't leave anything in the locker. That's what Jesus means when he says, "Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." These are the values of Jesus' spiritual family. The true family values he calls us to embrace and live out every day of our earthly journey. He's identified the four interconnected essential elements that make us human beings: our heart, soul, mind, strength. We are to safeguard and nurture all four points of this compass of our humanity, so that the unconditional and the sacrificial love of Jesus the Christ, the one who died for us, might freely flow from us in our words and deeds, our thoughts and desires, our hopes and our resilience, our fortitude. And so with that thought in mind, as we prepare ourselves to partake in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, let's let it take deep root in our hearts, and let us gather at the Lord's table as his brothers and sisters and, yes, mothers. And let us understand and embrace the divine truth that our bond with Jesus makes us each other's brothers and sisters too. We are family. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give each and every one of us his peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Amen, and thanks be to God.
On behalf of the elders of the Scots Church, I say to you, if you love Jesus, then this table is set for you and you are welcome at it. Now, when you receive the bread and the wine, then please wait so that we can all eat and drink together as the one body of Christ, in harmony and fellowship with each other. The wine, in fact, is non-alcoholic grape juice. And gluten-free bread is available on the wine tray to those who want it. Those little cups have both a wafer in the top and some juice underneath. Now, please, I invite you to stand as we say together the words of our faith. You'll find in your order of service the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, while we're on our feet, why don't we just turn to those immediately around us and greet them with the blessing of Christ, peace of Christ. Please be seated. Hear the words of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather as your adopted children to remember once more what you have granted us through your gift of faith and the willing sacrifice of God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You have granted us redemption. You have forgiven our sin and freed us from its tyranny in our lives. You have taken us to yourself as your people, and you have given each of us a role to play as your instruments in the world. Bless these gifts of bread and wine to us, Father God, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, transport us for a few brief moments to commune together at the wedding feast of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And in his precious name we pray. Amen. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and command. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in memory of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you do it, whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." the body of the Lord. Eat this in remembrance of him. The new covenant sealed in his blood, drink it in remembrance of him. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this sacrament and all that it signifies. May our participation in it enliven our faith, draw us closer to you, and strengthen our bonds of love with each other as a people of yours. Father, give us the wisdom, the courage, the stamina, and the compassion to follow faithfully in our Saviour's footsteps all the days of our lives, and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our very fitting closing hymn, March On, My Soul, with Strength. Now go in peace, dear brothers and sisters, to love and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest on each one of us this day and forevermore.